Name's Stark, and I figure it's about time that all this stoop hunting shit came to an end.
The bald giant held out his hand, and JB, despite catching Mildred's suspicion-filled glance, took it.
You know who we are, and you know that Ethan wants us chilled. So why are you going against him?
Why not? I've always thought he was a little fucked in the head, and I know I'm not the only one.
He directed his glance at Michaela.
And I know some of us have reason to fear Ethan and his sec, especially Grey Horse. Fear is what kept us down. And maybe it's time to stop being frightened. Maybe there's a whole lot more of us than we thought. Hell, I can't believe I'm finally saying it out loud.
Perhaps it was just the time to say it. If there are a whole lot, then we need to get them together, and quick. We also need to sort out who's on our side and who isn't. We've got to get back into Pleasantville first, right?
You mean who in the sec will join us and who'll want to whip our asses?
It's the first priority.
Leave that to me. I know them.
Stark's comment had an air of finality and confidence that left JB with no doubt that this man could deliver on his word.
John, are you sure you're really up to this right now? You've had a terrific shock to the system, and there's no knowing how strong you are. You need
Millie, to be... Millie, don't worry about it. There's no point. We've got to do this, so I'll just make the most of it. Now, it's getting toward mid-morning, and I don't want to waste any more time. We don't even know if the others are alive out there. They may have chilled Jack and skinned him for Ethan's pleasure, for all we know. Or he may have taken out at least one of them. Either way, I reckon they've had all night, and it's probably over by now. So we've just got to pick up the pieces as best and as quick as we can.
The armorer gently kissed her forehead, then turned back to face Stark and Michaela, who were in deep conference. The two Pleasantville dwellers faced the companions as they came across the open space toward them. They had the air of people for whom a momentous time had come in their lives.
We've been talking about who we think will be with us. We've got a list, some with power, others with influence. But our big problem is going to be getting back into the Ville to begin with.
The blaster turrets are now manned. Tracy, that was the fucker covered in tattoo ink that you chilled, was left in charge by Grey Horse, and his orders were to man them all. Now, I know who we can count on, but until we get to the way back in, I won't know who's on what turret and how we can tackle this.
I see what you're saying. We need to get close enough to find out without being blasted.
Thing is, I can see only one way to do it, and you're not going to like it.
I think I'm already there. You have to look like you've captured us so we can get through the tunnel and past the sec. And for that, you're going to have to handle all our weapons and link us together like we're prisoners, leaving us, obviously, defenseless.
Knew you wouldn't like it.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. However, I trust you if she does.
He indicated Michaela. The spiky-haired healer looked surprised.
You trust me?
I trust anyone who helped save my life.
Understanding blossomed on Michaela's face.
Then you can trust Stark as well.
Stark's plan was simplicity itself as he outlined it. He would lead them into view by the concealed tunnel entrance so that they could be seen by the sec manning the blaster emplacement. He would be carrying their arms, with his blaster trained on them, and they would be tied together. He would explain that he had overpowered them after they had chilled the other two sec men, and that he was bringing them back for Ethan to punish at his leisure. Then, once inside the tunnel, he would release them and return their arms. They would emerge on the other side, ready for a firefight if the emplacement sec men were loyal to Ethan, and recruitment if they were among the silent dissidents that Stark and Michaela could identify. They crossed the remains of the ruined city quickly, making good time, until they were at a point where they would start to become visible to whoever manned the emplacement across the wasteland. Here they stopped, and Stark collected their weapons and ordnance, slinging the heavy blasters and bags across his broad shoulders as though they were nothing. He then took the chains that he and the other sec men had been carrying with them to link and carry back the chilled corpses of the escapees and threaded them through Mildred, JB, and Michaela. It looked as though they were secure, although really it would take but an instant for them to shrug off their supposed bonds. Mildred and the others tried to get used to moving with their upper bodies temporarily restricted by the heavy chains.
Just one thing. Isn't it going to look kind of odd that you managed to get all three of us trussed single-handed?
If they stop to think about it, so we have to move quick. Anyway, can you think of anything better?
Guess not. Not on such short notice.
Then let's do it before they figure it out as well.
The three chain-entangled so-called captives shuffled out from cover and into sight of the blaster emplacement. Stark was close at their heels, his blaster trained on them to ensure that he was seen to be in control, so that he would not be fired on. There were two men on the emplacement, both looking bored until the four people came into view. Then, with an almost comical spurt of activity, they sprang to attention, one training the mounted SMG on the group, the other shouldering a Lee Enfield 303, the idea being to back up the SMG's spray and fire with some sniper shooting for accuracy, should the need arise.
It's okay. I've got some meat to bring home.
Where are the others?
Chilled, like these will be after Ethan's finished with them.
Thought your orders were to just finish the fuckers.
So they were. But seeing as they did so much damage, I figured that the Baron may want to attend to matters himself.
The man behind the SMG finally spoke up.
Sounds like a good call to me. Put your fucking gun down, Track, and let him through.
He stepped away from the SMG. The rifleman lowered his Enfield, albeit unwillingly, and allowed them to pass forward to the concealed tunnel entrance. Even though they were pretty sure that they couldn't be seen from the emplacement once they were in front of the concealed entrance, the three prisoners allowed Stark to keep his blaster trained on them while he opened the tunnel entrance with one hand. Once they were inside the enclosed dank space, he shut the door and lowered the blaster, producing a flashlight from a pocket. The beam was diffuse enough to illuminate a fair portion of the enclosed space. They could see that the other end of the tunnel was still safely secured.
Good thing they haven't sent a welcoming party.
Mildred slipped her chains. The other two followed suit, while Stark grunted to indicate he had something to say. He was, however, incapable of speech at that moment, as his mouth was occupied in gripping the flashlight while he shrugged off the captured blasters and ordnance to return to J.B., Mildred, and Michaela. That wasn't as easy as it sounded, as he was a big enough man to almost fill the tunnel, and he found that the movement of his arms within the enclosed space was difficult. But eventually he had shed his load and distributed to those from whom he had initially taken it. This done, he took the flashlight from his mouth.
Okay, listen now. Track, the guy with the rifle, is a jumpy little fuck, and he's Grey Horse's personal whipping boy. And yeah, does he love it. He's right behind Ethan, and he'll want to mow us down as soon as we come out. So we need to take him out straight away.
What about the other one?
That's Eddie. He's okay. He's always been nice to me, at least. I'm pretty sure he's one of us.
Yeah, but the trouble is, we come out shooting, Eddie's gonna shoot back, if only to protect himself.
So we need to stop Track from firing on us without alarming Eddie. Should be a piece of cake.
I think it just might be, actually.
JB grinned, then outlined his simple plan, before urging them to move toward the vill end of the tunnel. When they had reached the far door, leading up to the trap beneath the emplacement, JB signaled to Stark to go on ahead. The big man nodded and took his cue. Not long after, he stuck his head through the partly open trap.
Hey! I can't see a fucking thing down here! Come on, one of you give me a hand? My flashlight is fucked! Someone! Come on, give me a break!
Then he heard Eddie's voice.
Give me a second, big guy.
No, Eddie, you stay at the emplacement. Grey Horse would flay you if he found you deserting it.
Too right. Much as I'd like to see that, I ain't gonna be party to that. You stay here, Eddie. I'll help the bald bastard with those scum.
Nice guy, that Track. I'm sure a shitload of people will miss him when he's gone.
They waited as they heard the sounds of the rifleman clambering down the emplacement and scurrying across the ground to reach the other side of the trap. It opened suddenly, letting in the blinding light of early morning.
Would have thought a big bastard like you could manage two outsiders and a scaredy cat bitch like her.
You always did say too much.
Stark used the time it took Track in insulting them to reach out one ham-like hand and wrap it around the sick man's throat, squeezing beneath the carotid artery so that the little man nodded out from lack of blood and oxygen to the brain. When he was unconscious, Stark let his grip loose and took the man's head in both hands, twisting viciously to break his neck.
Wish I could say I was sorry. Now for Eddie.
The big man walked out into the light so that he could be plainly seen from the emplacement. Eddie looked down at him with a puzzled air.
Where's Track?
Eddie, you don't want to worry about that little shit anymore. He can't rat on anyone now.
Listen, what's going on here? Because I don't like the sound of this. And another thing, where are the three prisoners?
They're not prisoners, Eddie. We're the ones who are the prisoners. Let me ask you something. Do you really like what goes on down here?
You know the answer to that, but we don't have any option, do we?
Don't we? You know how many there are like us? You've thought about what we could do if we all got it together?
Maybe I have, but that's not going to happen, is it?
Isn't it? You just come down here and talk about it.
From their place of concealment, the armorer and Mildred watched with apprehension. The big guy was taking a hell of a chance, and he would be mowed down if Eddie had the slightest doubt. But no, the nervous sec man left his post on the emplacement and came to talk with Stark. Rapidly and concisely, the big man told Eddie what had happened in the ruined city and how sick he was of Ethan's ways. He explained how he and Michaela had figured out there were enough dissidents to mount a revolution, and there would be no better time than now, while Ethan and Greyhorse were both out on the hunt.
Guess it figures, but we're going to have to move pretty quickly, and there'll be a lot of folks who won't be too happy if they know that two of the outsiders are involved.
But we won't be.
JB finally stepped out of the shadows and into view.
I'm not in any fit state yet to be running around, and there's no way we'd expect any of your people to trust me or Millie. This is totally down to you guys. But what we can do is help you make your plans. At least that way we'll feel like we're being useful.
Three of us and a whole ville to cover. Yeah, I guess your help would be necessary.
Good. Then let's get to it. There's no time to waste.
Eddie gestured them to join him in the emplacement. There was enough cover for Mildred and JB to stay hidden, while its height enabled Eddie, Michaela, and Stark to get an overview of the whole ville while they planned. Plus, it would look less suspicious to any pro-Ethan sec men if Eddie was still visibly on watch. Once they had attained the height of the emplacement, they began to go over the names of those they knew they could rely on. It was a considerable list.
There isn't going to be time to get around to all of them. How are we going to manage this?
Simple. Look, you all know these people. Who are the ones that you know will be most committed? Go to them first, and then when you go to the next person on your list, give them a list of their own. That way you can hit several people at once, and before you know where you are, you've got an army.
That's all right as far as it goes, but we've got to hit hard before those loyal to Ethan get a chance to crush us. From what we know, they've still got the blaster power and the sec advantage.
Then you hit them first, and you hit them hard, and in ways that they don't expect. Look, I'm still off balance from that shit Ethan pumped into me. I feel like I could sleep a week right now. But if there's one thing I do know, it's how to plan an attack. You tell me where they're based, and I'll give you a plan.
The armorer then sat back and listened to Eddie, Stark, and Michaela reel off facts at him. Places and people that would have been a blur if not for the fact that they were able to use the height of the emplacement and the resulting panorama of the ville it afforded them to point out key locations. It seemed to JB that the problem would be in securing the armory and the sec compound. The majority of the dissidents that would unite against Ethan were from outside the sec force, and there were also a number of residents who would go with the flow of combat, easily switching their allegiance to whoever had the upper hand. To stop a long and costly pitched battle, and to draw the uncommitted to their cause, JB knew that he would have to devise a plan that would secure these two key points.
Tell me again who you have on your side and where they are.
JB narrowed his eyes as he was told once more, following the lines that could be drawn between the small groups of dissidents and where they were clustered. As he drew up these lines, an idea began to form in his head.
The key is to keep the recruitment a secret until the moment you strike. That's kind of made easier by the speed you'll be moving at, but otherwise you'll have to keep away from key areas.
He indicated spots in the ville where there were clusters of Ethan supporters.
Get some of your people to contain those areas and leave the sec compound and the armory till last. Keep your best fighters for those. The important thing is to cut off attack from your rear or support reaching those two areas.
So we surround pockets of support and then pincer the armory and sec compound using the cover of the surrounding streets and then hit hard and fast with fighters who really know their business.
Exactly. People who aren't great fighters can use the other areas to their advantage in the containing operation. But for the two main targets, you need good runners and accurate, swift combat experts. Do you have those?
Maybe not as many as I'd like, but plenty who'll be willing to take a chance. There are people here who've been waiting a long time for this, even if they haven't realized it before today.
Okay. Guess me and Millie can't do anything more than just sit here and watch, so you'd better get moving. Whatever has happened out there on the hunt, you can bet it won't be long before Ethan and Greyhorse are back.
Stark nodded and clapped his hand on JB's shoulder. He didn't have to say anything.